Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey. It's now 3 weeks into the Occupy Wall Street protests, where hundreds of people have camped out in New York City's financial district to object to a financial system they say is widening the wealth divide in the U.S. Finally, after an embarrassingly poor show of news coverage, the establishment media is beginning to pick up the story. But increased airtime and column inches doesn't necessarily equal quality reporting. Media watchdog groups like Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting say stories have been short on actual facts and long on criticism of a protest the media have failed to explain. Independent journalist Allison Kilkenny, co-producer of the political radio show Citizen Radio, has been tracking the mainstream media's coverage of the movement. One central critique by the media that seems to warrant scant coverage is that the protest doesn't have a unified vision.
If Occupy Wall Street has done nothing else, it's allowed us to see how incredibly lazy and inept our media is, because they really don't understand how to cover this movement.
Rather than reporting on the protests as a legitimate movement and interviewing an array of activists, Kilkenny says the media has spent a lot of time belittling it, from mocking activists' clothes to jabbing at drum circles.
So Americans should be angry in the sense that this is the only kind of meaningful resistance that has emerged ever since corporations robbed the country blind. And now here we are when there's finally a legitimate response to it. And what are they saying? Oh, they're hippies in a drum circle. Well, you know, I believe that the role of journalism should be to help us understand the world around us and how it works. That doesn't help me understand anything, making fun of what people wear.
Kilkenny says this type of news coverage highlights the problems with the corporate-owned media system. It's designed to defend, rather than report on, the corporations that fund it.
So when you have Aaron Burnett on CNN being very dismissive of Occupy Wall Street, we have to ask ourselves, okay, who's Aaron Burnett? And if you look into her resume, I mean, she's been a shill for Citigroup for many, many years. It's not surprising that someone who is herself a corporate shill and is on a network that has corporate advertisers would not depict Occupy Wall Street in the most favorable light.
To listen to more reporting about the protests and the media coverage from Allison Kilkenny, visit wearecitizenradio.com. For more information about the protests, visit occupytogether.org.
Corporate opponents of net neutrality have been arguing that rules protecting an open internet will stifle innovation and economic growth, but a new study says that is just plain false. New York University Law School's nonpartisan Institute for Policy Integrity says that the internet generates huge economic benefits for consumers, as much as $5,600 per user per year. Executive Director Mike Livermore explains that the infrastructure of the net, the wires, cables, and other hardware, and the content that flows through that hardware combine to create value for the user. Livermore says that without net neutrality rules to keep the internet an open level playing field for everyone who uses it, the value to users could diminish.
If ISPs are allowed to discriminate on the basis of content or prioritize some content and not others, it really throws off some of the incentives for investment away from where we might want it to be.
It's fine for infrastructure and content providers to make a profit, Livermore says. The task for Congress and the FCC is to make rules to keep profit incentives towards benefiting consumers. On an open internet with net neutrality rules, service providers must make a profit by investing in infrastructure and competing on speed and price. Content providers must invest in high-quality, accessible products. And innovators are free to jump in and move the industry forward with new and exciting applications and products. Without clear rules of the road, service and content providers can conspire to keep access at a premium. They can make deals to squeeze out possible competitors. And they can make their profits by charging for priority access. There will be no incentive for providers to invest in faster speeds, more access, or better products. And that would decrease the value of the internet for users. The Senate is about to take up a resolution of disapproval passed by the House earlier this year that would kill the FCC's net neutrality rules and strip away the agency's power to regulate the internet. Livermore is worried about the possibility of a lawless net.
We're talking about a lot of value that's created for end users and ultimately for the American economy. So the stakes are very high. And if we get it wrong and undermine the incentives to invest in content and infrastructure, there's a lot on the line. We stand to lose quite a bit.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.
Thank you.